Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm your host, Zach Zimmerman, and once again, you'll have to forgive me. I really got the allergies getting the better of me this week. The allergies combined with the medication that I'm taking, which is not non-drowsy, is kind of wreaking some havoc on my ability to function, especially beyond a certain time at night. So thanks to Jason Powell for stepping in and filling in for me last night on live coverage of this show, but I did tell him that I would be back and review the show on audio form, and so that's what I'm here to do. And once again, I'm here back on the All Access side of things. Kind of a rare treat for you guys, I hope, I think, to get NXT audio on the free side more than, I think this is the second time I've been back in the last maybe month, maybe a little over a month, but well, it's good to be talking to you guys again, but this being an all-access show does mean that I need to sneak in my plug for ProWrestling.net membership. And guys, if you're still listening on the free side, I don't know why when there's the member side, and there's so much good stuff on the member side. Of course, ad-free access to the website, but more than that, really what you're paying for is the audio content that we bring you. Of course, audio reviews of every television show in the wrestling world that exists, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. I believe we have Ring of Honor, we have Lucha Underground, God, I gotta be missing something. Maybe Impact? I don't know if we still do Impact coverage, but Impact is still floating around out there somewhere, at least for the time being, before they ship off to their merch warehouse, but I'm getting off topic. Anyway, but the big plug here is for, of course, the flagship broadcast of ProWrestling.net membership, and that is Jason Powell's .net weekly audio show. It's a good, usually a little over an hour, sometimes 2 hours or a little bit more in the case of this week, of Jason Powell and a guest just discussing all the major news and events of the week. Sometimes it's one of us staff members. Other times it's somebody, not to put us down, but sometimes it's somebody a little bit more important in the wrestling world, somebody like a Jim Ross or a Sean X Pac Waltman. And this week is definitely along that line of guests, because we have Justin Credible, PJ Polacco, but better known as Justin Credible, joining Jason Powell for this week's two-part .NET Weekly Audio Show. Part 1 went up yesterday, Part 2 went up today, and that is a, well, not gonna lie, that's probably not gonna be the most upbeat, optimistic, and happy audio, but it's gonna be a really good look into some really kind of hot-button current event issues. They're gonna talk about the WWE wellness policy. Justin Credible is certainly no stranger to that, a guy with, you know, admitted history of substance abuse, who is, to the best of my knowledge, taken advantage in the best possible way of WWE's wellness program and gotten himself the help that he needs and seems to be doing well. And they'll also be, you know, talking about the untimely deaths of China, Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, just kind of the unfortunate side of wrestling that, well, Justin Credible was kind of down in for a while and is lucky enough to have gotten out of and is now on the better side of. And so he provides some really good insight with Jason Powell, who, of course, is always fit for some of the best analysis in the wrestling journalism business. So that's really the big sales pitch this week, guys. Go out of your way to hear that audio. That's going to be a good one. But the reason that I'm here, of course, is to get into, well, NXT, because that's my show. This week, I really didn't pick an awful show to skip. I got to be honest. I was feeling a little bit remorseful that I was going to have a hard time covering it and ended up not being able to cover it when I did see that they were going to cover Samoa Joe beating Finn Balor for the NXT Championship. But as it turned out, like, they didn't show the whole match. That was a very small portion of this show. And really, what the show consisted of largely was missable stuff and some even kind of bad stuff. So, I don't know. They do have an NXT taping tonight, tonight being Thursday, April the 28th. We will have a correspondent in the building for that, and I will get coverage up probably at the conclusion of the taping as early as I'm able to. And hopefully they pick up the quality of the TV shows, because really for like, since like the second half of last year on, unless they're really pushing hard towards one of the live specials, which even these last couple live specials they haven't really given the hard push to, NXT television is just kind of like dreadful. Like, not dreadful in the sense of like, there's never anything embarrassingly bad or, you know, really awful, and there's no, you know, terrible booking or anything like that, but it's dreadful in the sense of just like it's uneventful. It's always consistent in quality, but it's like, well, consistent in production and quality and things like that, but it's just the last, I don't know, 6-8 months, it just really has felt lackluster. Nothing super eventful, nothing super exciting. Everything feels kind of old, stale, in the can, beyond its date. And there's just no really hot programs going on right now. So I love NXT as much as anybody. Believe me, I spend a lot of time covering it and watching it and following it and all that kind of good stuff. But I want to see them, well, capitalize on all this buzz and this hype and momentum that they have. But anyway, let's get right into the show because I've spent enough time not talking about this show. We got the opening video kicking things off. Tom Phillips and Corey Graves came in on commentary, and they did hype the footage of Samoa Joe capturing the NXT title from Finn Balor in Lowell, Massachusetts, for later in the show. First match of the show was NXT Women's Champion Asuka versus Eva Marie one-on-one in a non-title match. And this was awful. This really was. Asuka, I mean, man, it sounds critical, but to this point in her title run, from what I've seen. And I've seen a little bit more than most people have because I went to the three-show swing here in the Northeast, and I'll get into that in a moment. But Asuka's title reign is probably so to this point is the marks the maybe the worst month that the NXT Women's Champion has had. And it's not that her, she's won all of her matches. She hasn't been booked to look bad per se based on the wins and losses, but like. She was the unstoppable ass kicker going into her match with Bayley, and then she put up a great fight back and forth match against Bayley and won the title. And now apparently she goes in there with kind of the lower ladies in that division, and she has competitive 10 to 12 minute matches with them. When I was at I don't remember exactly what the matches were exactly which nights, but I know she wrestled Asuka wrestled oh God, she wrestled Alexa Bliss twice. And Peyton Royce once, I believe. Alexa Bliss twice and Peyton Royce once? Yeah, that was it. And man, those matches were just one of the matches with Alexa Bliss, the last one and the last night was okay, but their first match was just bad. And then and it was also the same formula where it was a competitive 10 to 12 minute match with Asuka selling for most of the match. And, like, that's not what got Asuka over. That's not why people love to see Asuka and pay to see Asuka. They go out there to see her kick people's ass, toss them around with suplexes, kick them really hard, tie them up in a pretzel with submission holds, and then tap them out. Like, that's what people want from Asuka. And she goes out there against Eva Marie, and against Peyton Royce, and against Alexa Bliss, and has these competitive back-and-forth 10-minute matches. It's just not good. Especially for this match, when you're in there with Eva Marie, this was not good. Eva, every time Asuka would go to throw a kick, Eva would be like, a little bit too far away, so the kick just wouldn't quite reach. It would look bad, and she'd have to like reach her hand out to take the kick. It was just everything was a little bit off. Not a good match. Actually, Eva Marie took most of the match. At one point, Nia Jax walked down to ringside, but there was really not much to it. Before long, Asuka made a little bit of a comeback, and then just caught Asuka with the. I mean, Asuka caught Eva with the spinning back kick that she does. Got the win in like 10 minutes, which is way, way too long. An Eva Marie match never needs to go more than 2 or 3 minutes anyway. And even to get, Asuka tried to do some stuff around her, tried to work some stuff, but with Eva Marie getting as much offense as she got, this was not good. Not good. And then, but really kind of, I think with this, which is like, even more to my point that, like, why the hell would they go 10 minutes? This whole thing seemed like it was there to set up Asuka and Nia Jax because this segment ended with just a dreadfully long stare down. Awkwardly long stare down between Nia Jax and Asuka. They stared down from ringside in the ring, and then Nia got in the ring, and they stared down. And then Nia helped Eva up, and they all stared down. And then they got out on the apron, and they stared down. And they backed down to ringside, and they stared down. And they backed up the ramp, and they stared down. And it's like, this, they spent, if they were going to go 10 minutes on the stare down, they didn't need to go 10 minutes on the match. I don't know. It was just it was way, way too much time to accomplish way, way too little. We got footage aired of Samoa Joe being interviewed by the roving reporter after he won the title, and Joe just said, "I told you that I was the inevitable." He said, "I told you that Balor, the first two times we fought, he merely survived. Tonight he is not able to." And that was that. New NXT champion was Samoa Joe, and he's probably, I mean, okay, Nakamura's really hot, but in terms of like character work and character progression and just the quality of work that he's been putting in, Samoa Joe is like the best thing going in NXT right now. He's fantastic. We got the broadcast team hyping Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Drifter later on in the show. They also hyped that the Revival would be in action up next. And when we came back, it was indeed the Revival in action against two guys who were named Jeff Parker and Chad Lee, but they are better known as Chikara Talent Oh God, no, I'm gonna butcher it. I believe it is Shane Big Magic Matthews and Scott Jagged Parker. They're 3.0. But obviously they weren't gonna let Scott Parker be Scott Parker because he was in there with Scott Dawson. But anyway, this is 3.0. It's kind of rare to see a Chikara tag team or Chikara talent period on get camera time in WWE. They just seem kind of insulated in their own little world. So kind of cool to see these two on screen here. But this was really just a squash match for the Revival. I don't even know that 3.0 got any offense in at all. It was just the Revival putting a beat down on Parker. Lee was kind of jacking his jaw from the apron throughout the whole match, doing his kind of Chikara comedy, and then leading a crowd chant on defense because his team was the one getting their ass kicked on defense the whole time. But then he tagged in, and he within like I don't know 30 seconds he took the Shatter Machine, and this one went about 3.5 minutes, and it was just a pure squash for the Revival. Afterwards, Dawson took a microphone and he just said that we are the best tag team on the planet. The fans chanted Alpha for American Alpha. But Dawson said that part of what makes them the best tag team on the planet was being NXT Tag Team Champions, and they want those titles back. He said they're putting every tag team, all the tag teams, on notice. None of them are safe, and they will not stop until they get their NXT Tag Team titles back. But they actually said until we get back what completes us, but he meant NXT Tag Team titles. And by this point, man, just between Dash and Dawson not being super over without those titles, not really being over at all, actually, unfortunately. They're kind of the definition of good hand. But between that and this being, like, I think the last show of the taping, this crowd was dead, and there was no reaction for what they said. And really, there was no reaction for virtually anything on this show, save for a couple moments. But, yeah, no, this promo, it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't particularly good, but it wasn't bad, and the crowd just had nothing for it. When we came back, we got Blake and Murphy versus the Hype Bros, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. Blake and Murphy were noticeably without Alexa Bliss. A little bit awkward trying to explain that when I think Corey Graves asked about it, and Tom Phillips said that, "Oh, we just saw her compete a couple weeks ago," which of course meant that she had just competed, maybe 20 minutes or half hour prior. But Corey Graves is like, "Well, what does that have to do with anything?" Again, I ask, "Why is she not out here with Blake and Murphy?" So it's a little bit awkward. This one wasn't really much of anything. It was kind of what you would expect. Blake and Murphy, I don't know, kind of lackluster, especially without Alexa Bliss. They've just, I don't know, they were another team who was kind of propped up by winning those titles, and since they've taken them, they've, not to say they've floundered, but they're just another decent hand tag team, heel tag team in that division. And especially with the influx of tag teams that are coming in, TMDK and a few other talents who are coming in. I don't really know what the future holds for them. I mean, they're a solid, fine, good hands in the ring, and they're fine to hang around here. I just don't know how much upward mobility they have. But this one was as I'm reading through Jason's report, I'll get to the finish here. This one really wasn't much, and they got to the finish. They hit. It's called the Hype Rider, but Jason Powell called it the Hype Grinder. Which I like a lot better. Hype Bros got the win when they hype grinded either Blake or Murphy in about 5 minutes. After the match, Dash and Dawson ran out, attacked the Hype Bros from behind as they were backing up the ramp, left them lying. They did the, oh God, what was it? The demolition decapitation or whatever that move was? The backbreaker elbow drop. They did that off of the ring apron onto the floor on Mojo. So, righteous. Let's see. After that, we went to the fourth match of the show, where we had Carmella versus Aaliyah. Crowd was moderately into, well, actually, I can't say that. Be that the crowd was into Carmella, because she was very over at the live events that I went to, but here she did the thing where on the live tour she goes bada bing and she holds the mic up, crowd's supposed to go hottest chick in the ring, and then she says, "How you doing?" But here on this show, she goes bada bing and she held the mic up, nobody said anything, and it just goes, "How you doing?" And it was just like, oh God, this is embarrassing. This show was like one too many for this crowd. And Aaliyah, you may be familiar with her if you watched Breaking Ground on the WWE Network. She had a little bit of time on there. It's just the rookie young lady who they like the way she looks. They like some of her ideas, but she's just too green. But it looks like they're giving her a chance here. This wasn't, obviously this match wasn't anything good. They have a lot to live up to as far as the standard of the old, not the old women, but the former women of the NXT Women's Division. And this wasn't up to that standards, but they tried. There was, the real kind of gimmick, no, I'm sorry, getting jumbled up here reading Jason's report. Aaliyah did one thing where she went up to the second rope and hit, like, this weird kind of splits leg drop thing, and it was okay, but This match wasn't great. Before long, Carmella tripped her up, got some ground and pound, and then Carmella won with a submission. Her leg hold submission that she does, it's like a cross face with her legs. They called it an inverted triangle, but either way, she got the submission win in about 3.5 minutes. The kind of the thing that jumbled me up here was that not the gimmick, but Corey Graves was talking about how something looks different about Carmella. She looks better. She looks something just looks different about her. And Tom Phillips is like, oh, what is it? And he's like, oh, it looks like she's dropped a bunch of dead weight. Obviously referring to Enzo and Cass being with her, but I don't know. I don't really know what they, how much they're going to acknowledge that going forward, if that'll be the gimmick going forward. But it was an interesting comment there. We went backstage where Elias Sampson just talked about how it sounded like William Regal misinterpreted my lyrics when he decided to book me in the match against Shinsuke Nakamura. And then he said, but I'm going to show Shinsuke that I am THE Drifter. As if, like, other people are claiming to be drifters, or other people are staking claim to his claim of being the drifter. Or as if being a drifter is something that people fear, or that it is something intimidating, or fearsome, or threatening, or in any way, anything. I don't know. Effing drifter, man. Ugh, drift away. But he said that Nakamura never should have drifted into NXT, and that was that. Austin Aries was hyped for next week's show, and we got ring entrances for the main event with Shinsuke Nakamura versus The Drifter. It was, Nakamura didn't get a huge reaction when he came out. Again, this crowd was pretty dead, but there was a loud Nakamura chant when the match started. He had advantage early. Samson took the heat for, 2 or 3 minutes, and then Nakamura hit the running knee lift in the corner, and then he hit the reverse power slam, which they're now calling the inverted exploder. Fine by me. And then he hit the Kinshasa knee strike and got the win in a little over 4 minutes. Thank God this didn't go any longer because I saw them wrestle in Lowell and in Poughkeepsie. And they went a little bit longer than 4 minutes. They did a couple of fun little things that they didn't do here. Air guitar spot and Nakamura breaking the air guitar, that kind of thing. But yeah, this match really didn't need to go as long as it went on those shows. It's paint by numbers. Anything with Elias Sampson, I mean, to this point, nothing with Elias Sampson has ever been good. Nakamura didn't do like a lot here, but he's kind of good by nature, so this was if. I mean, I can't say it was good in any reason other than you got to see Shinsuke Nakamura on your screen and you got to see him knee the Drifter in the face. Other than that, this whole show was pretty skippable. Only reason you'd want to catch it is to see the highlights of the NXT title match, and it's not like they really even showed, any worthwhile amount of that. So yeah, this show kind of was what it was, rounding out those WrestleMania Access tapings. They do, like I mentioned, have tapings tonight from Full Sail. And I'm really hoping that they just pick up the pace here. Let's take advantage of this buzz. You've got some really big names signed, some other really big names rumored. You've got the global Cruiserweight Championship, or what is it, Global Cruiserweight Tournament coming up. You've got your titles on a strong heel, so you can put a strong babyface in the chase. You can build up some contenders. You've got a strong babyface women's champion. Looks like she'll be working with Nia Jax, so we'll see how that goes. But either way, let's do something, like put some hype into this show. As great of talent you as they have, put some effort and time into the writing and making these shows buzzworthy and worthwhile. Introduce some new talent, hype up some of the talent who they have signed, some of the incoming tag teams, some of the incoming singles guys. Let's see Manny Andrade. Let's see some of these undercard guys who are worthwhile get some wins. Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, like, let's build some people up. There's such a huge drop off between the few guys who they have at the very top level and then the developmental guys who are they're trying to give a break to, and it's just hasn't really done anything for me, or really I don't think for anyone else in the last couple months. The shows are always fine and watchable, but I want to get excited about NXT again, other than a live special. So that's my call to action for NXT. Obviously tonight's results will determine if they listen to me or not. Or if I get what I want or not is more realistic. But either way, I guess we'll find out starting next week when I believe they'll probably kick off with the fresh set of tapings. And I will, of course, be back, well, barring my health or anything else coming up, be back on live coverage for you guys then and back on audio as well, but on the member side. So become a ProWrestling.net member in the next weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Take it easy, everyone.